In any case, every pasuk in the Torah, regardless of whether or not there is a targum, has to be learned through three times. And if there's a targum, it's a targum. If there's no targum, if it's a pasuk like just Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, so you just say three times, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Now, and the Gemara goes on and says, Shekola mashlim parashiyosim atzibor. Whoever does this, whoever's mashlim is parashim with the tzibor, marichin lo yomu v'shnosav. He will merit arichas yomim v'shanim, long life, long days, and the days that are filled. And the Madonna Yomtif points out on the Rush there that part of the idea of arichas yomim is the idea that it's also chayim tov, not just longevity, not just long days, but good days, chayim tovim. Now, although the lashon of the Gemara almost implies like, it's a good thing to do. Li'olam yashlamat, like it's a recommendation, a suggestion, not necessarily an absolute chiyuv, that one might get that impression from the lashon of the Gemara. But indeed, in fact, that is not how it is, the Rishonim understand it, of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch bring it down as an absolute chiyuv of the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, which is like the lashon of the Rambam, afal pi sha'adam shamea kala tara kula kol shabbos b'tziba ol, even though a person has the Torah lane, the entire Torah lane, each on a weekly basis on Shabbos, chayav likros la'atzmo, he has to read it for himself, b'chol shavua, every week, parashas osu shavua, the parashas that week, shnai mikra becha targum, afilo taras v'dimon. So it says chayav, the person is obligated to do it, remotion and tshuva, points out in the fifth chelik bar chayim of Rikas Moshe, Moshe says this even applies to people who are B'nai Torah, Talmidei Chachamim, who are Yoshim, and they're sitting and learning all day, they're learning all the time, but they should say, look, I'm learning Shas and Poskim and, delving into whatever it may be. That's great, but Afal Pikin, you have to make time for this as well. You have to make time for Shnayim, Mikra, Becha, Targum. Now, there's a different discussion about exactly what the idea was. The Lashonos of some of the Kadmonim, the Beis Yosef, and the Levush indicate that a person should be rogel b'Torah. A person should be accustomed to it, familiar with the Torah of Mashat Tzibur Karim. Shelo ye dover zarlo. It shouldn't be something that he shouldn't listen to the landing and find it, it's unfamiliar territory. He should be well familiar, not just rely on having heard it last year or the previous years, but go through it. I just very quickly mentioned that the Balei Musar say that when a person does learn the parasha every year, he should try to make some progress, try to advance in terms of his understanding, his depth, his appreciation. I think one of the Balei Musar speaks about is Rabbi Isaac Sher, one place says that a person shouldn't, when he's 50 years old, he shouldn't be picturing Chvei Avraham Avinu and Sarah and Hagar the way he got first grasped it from his first grade Mora or Rebbe or whatever, explained it to him. He should try to, get a little bit beyond that and each year try to get further, more. And it's inevitable that if a person tries, if you apply yourself, you put your mind to it, it's like all the time, but you put your mind to it, you always do things. People discover, quote unquote, discover things in Psukim that were like under their eyes, under their nose for many, many years, but it just, all of a sudden, new things open up. Besides that, A base Medrash B'Lachish, that way they're all learning. Tosh Mappe as well. You learn something over again, and it always opens up to more and more things. Okay, but the idea is so that you should be ruggled with the Torah. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan says that Avada, this must have been part of Moshe Rabbeinu's Takana, when Moshe Rabbeinu was misaking that we, that there should be Kriyas HaTorah, a Shabbos morning, in B'tzibur. So part of that was also that the Yachid should review the parasha for himself. This is what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Now, why three times? So they bring a Raivan. The Raivan says, Madonna Yontif brings it, that it's Keneged Shnayim HaKorim VeEchad Metargim. The two Korim and the one who's Metargim. So the Madonna Yontif explains it to me, the Shnayim HaKorim means the Shliach Tzibur and the Kore, who would be standing up by the bima, by the shulchan, as well as the metargim. We know that used to have a metargim who would give a running commentary on it. So that's what he says the three times. And the Aruch HaShulchan suggests, based on the Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, where it says that klalos upratos nemru b'Sinai, the klalos upratos of the Torah, where the mitzvahs of the Torah were taught to us in Har Sinai, v'nishu, they were repeated, ba'ol moed, v'nishtalshu, and then a third time, ba'arbos moav. So connect like the three times that the Torah was transmitted as a whole, we have a mitzvah to lame three times, but instead of just doing the pasuk three times when there is targum, which is, you know, the vast majority of times, that they were masaking the mitzvah to do it with a targum so that a person should understand what he's saying, especially with the targum, and hopefully later we'll talk about if it's davka the targum, but the specific mitzvah was targum, meaning, let's say, targum ukulis, which we know is given initially in Har Sinai, the Lashon Aramis. The Torah was translated back in Har Sinai into Aramis, which is Karov L'Lashon HaKodesh, as the Aruch HaShulchan. And the Gemara Megillah tells us, Daf Gimel, that it was originally given to Sinai, it was forgotten, and Uncleus reinstated it. Uncleus brought it back to us. So this is extremely important. It's an extremely high madrega, the Targum Uncleus is not just Stam, an explanation and interpretation of the Torah, but it traces itself back to Har Sinai. You can't get better than that. So that was the mitzvah to do it that way. Now, the idea that it says, you know, Marich lo yom v'shnosav, just want to share with you one verse for the Rav Elazar Moshe Horowitz, who has chedushim in the back of certain mesechtas and shas, Gvalda Gagon, I think it's called the Pitzkerov. He says like this, that, you know, that the idea, part of the idea of doing Shnai Mikra Targum is that a person should be familiar with the parashas, like we said. Memela, if he's called up for an aliyah, he'll be able to take her, because it used to be that the one who was called up for the aliyah would lane himself. In some kehilas and some parts of Klai, so it's still done that way, at least to whoever can. But we don't do it in our B'nai Ashkenaz, we don't do it that way. But it used to be whoever got the aliyah would lane his aliyah. So he had to be familiar with it to lane it. Otherwise, he might have to turn down the aliyah. Now it says if a person turns down an aliyah, if they call him up to the Torah, he doesn't go. It says mekatzrin yomav, chasr shalom, of course, is kitzur yomim. So it says, oh, so Zagra of the Reim Harwitz. So the Mela, the Chazal telling us, Marshavenu, telling us, go over the parasha, make sure you're familiar with it. This way, when you get an, if you get an aliyah, you'll be able to accept the aliyah and you'll avoid the klala of being mekatzer yama for turning down the aliyah. Memela, it's marichlo yama shas mele. You'll have a richlo yama. You won't suffer from the kitzur yama of the person who has to turn down an aliyah. One quick story: they say when a number of years back, when Rabbi Yashem Zichron Levracha, when he was quite advanced in age, he was having some heart issues. In fact, eventually he had some very delicate heart surgery. They flew in a surgeon from America. Apparently, it was difficult to find a person who was qualified to do the surgery that he needed, the type of procedure that he needed, the heart procedure, and A, qualified, and B, willing to do it on a person of such an advanced age. And they flew in a surgeon from the United States who was willing to do it and did it in Baruch Hashem successfully. But anyway, sometime prior to that surgery, he once was hospitalized and he was unconscious for a couple of days, and it towards the end of the week, and over Shabbos, he was not in a state of consciousness, and as soon as he came to, I think on Sunday, or towards the beginning of the week, and shortly after, he asked for a chumash. He said he wasn't mashlim, he didn't finish the parsha. He used to do the parsha, break up the parsha for each day of the week. Maybe we'll talk about it also later, by Hashem, but and he didn't get to finish it because he wasn't able to, he wasn't conscious at the end of the week. So he asked for a chumash, they should finish the parasha. So even though he was weak and not, he finished the parasha, then whoever was with him sees that he's already going to the next parasha, which was that week's parasha. So whoever was, the shamish or whoever was with him, he said, Rebbe, maybe, he said, okay, you finished, I understand, you want to finish parasha because you're behind, you're finished. So now maybe you should take it easy, maybe you shouldn't do this. But now, so he said, no, you know, there's time, you have time, which is the beginning of the week, you have time for this parasha. So he said, no, Adarabba. It says, whoever does Shnai Mikra V'Targum, Marich Lo Yom V'Shnosav. If anything, and now I need the schus. You know, look what just happened. I need all the schus I can for a Marichas Yom. Now, of course, we know, and this should be stressed anyway. The Gemara tells us Marich Lo Yom V'Shnosav. It doesn't mean that a person should be mechav that. Okay, I'm going to do it. It's added, you know, motivation, added impetus, etc. It shows the chashivas of it. It's not the reason why you're not supposed to do it because, oh, Marich Lo Yom, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm supposed to do it because this is a mitzvah that we have to do, a mitzvah in the Shulchan Aruch, a mitzvah in the Gemara, etc. But then Rav Yashiv, of course, Mustafa just used that as maybe a little bit, tongue in cheek, but also to as an excuse that his gabbai shouldn't insist on taking away the chumash and let him do it. Okay, moving on now. So it says imat zibur. One more thing before the it says there's a famous remez the beginning of Parsha Shmos. You may have all heard this, but I want to tell you two remezim. One you probably heard, one you might not have. The first two words in the ve'el shmos, it says ve'el shmos bnei Yisrael, ve'el shmos. So there's a famous remez. The chayav, the vav aleph lamed hey ve'ela and shmos. Shmos, we know that's easy. Shmos is shnayim mikra ve'echatarga, right there. But ve'ela, the chayav adam likros haparsha vav aleph lamed hey ve'ela. The chayav adam likros haparsha shnayim mikra ve'echatarga. That's remez number one. Then the balaturim more elaborate on the words ve'ela shmos b'nei Yisrael as follows: ve'im adam lomed haparsha shnayim mikra ve'echatarga. And we're up to B'nai. Bekol Noim Yashir. He sings it in a pleasant voice. We're up to Yisrael. Yichya Shanim Rabim Aruchim La'olam. As I state in Balatur. Okay. Now let's go to the Lacha. So it says, Imat Sibur. A person has to do Shnaim Yashin Parashav Imat Sibur. What does it mean, Imat Sibur? So when can you start? So the Shulchan Aruch says, this is in Siman Reish Pei. Hey, Sif Gimel Miyom Rishon Ve'elech. From Sunday on, it's called the Matzibur. The Mishnah Berurah explains, well, that's because the Shabbos, on Shabbos, the day before, at Mincha, we began laning the next Parsha. If it was Parshas Ve'era last week, so we started at Mincha time laning Bo. So starting Sunday is a Matzibur. Oh, it's like the Mishnah Berurah said, that doesn't really mean Sunday. Sunday's Lav Davka. It means already Shabbos afternoon. Once they're laning Bo, says the Mishnah Berurah, you could do it from then. And he's medayek that from a number of Rishonim, from Tosfos and the Rush. And he brings some places it says Mefurish, and that's how the Mishnah Berurah paskins. He brings one of the Rishonim, the Kolba, I think, says not like that, but the Mishnah Berurah says that Rov Rishonim hold that you could begin already Shabbos afternoon when they lay in the Parsha at Mincha, you could already begin that upcoming Parsha. Now, there are those that are Chalik with Mishnah Berurah, those that learned in Mishnah Rishonim, but as I state in Mishnah Berurah. Now, there are some people, like I mentioned before, by Yashin, those people that would divide it up, or that do divide it up and do a chelik of the parsha every day of the week. How do you divide it? So if there's a samach or a pei indicating the end of what the Torah calls a parsha, we refer to parsha sometimes as the sedra, but we know that a parsha means a section in the chumash which ends with a break until the next session starts. Sometimes the break is till the end of the line and it continues to the next line, so that's called a parsha psucha simply, and you'll have a pei. You'll see a pei in your chumash. Sometimes there's a samach, a stuma, indicating that the next parsha begins on the same line. But those are the best places to stop. It doesn't always work. There's some parshas. Take a look at parshas Balak, for example. There's no pei or samach until the very, very end, until the maftir, basically. And there are other places like that where there are long gaps or almost an entire parsha with no pei or samach. So then it says you break it up in a place that seems to be appropriate. Well, you may say, well, what about the aliyahs? Do an aliyah day. So it's interesting that there are chashulim that says, no, that's nothing. Those aliyahs, they have no meaning, no significance to that. But a number of gedolim have said that, yeah, you could do that. You could use the aliyahs as a break it up by the aliyahs. It's brought to the Chazon Ish. First, the Levin Hagaon used to break it up over the days of the week. The Chazon Ish as well. Apparently, it was the minhag of the Chazon Ish. I mentioned Rav Yashiv because I saw that myself, right? I think that's what I was seeing. I had the opportunity for a couple of weeks once to daven at the same minyan, one time in my life for a couple of weeks during the summer. And Rav Yashiv used to come in. It was a 6:30 minyan. This is in Beit Fagan, the Beis Knesset Hagran, corner of the Kol Kiskan. And he used to come in. It was an earlier minyan, but Rav Yashiv used to come for the 6:30 minyan. And he used to come into the shul, and he would take out a chumash, and he would put on his talis and tefillin, and take out a chumash, and learn. And I'm pretty sure he was learning, or I don't know if somebody told me, or I just assumed that he was doing the Shnayim Mikra Berachot Targum. In any case, his brother Chazon Ish used to do it as well, but we'll talk about soon the latest time. Hashem, and I want to tell you something interesting from the Chazon Ish. So, okay, so that's the earliest time. Everyone agrees at least Sunday, but the Mishnah Berurah is not just Sunday, literally, but you can even start Shabbos by Mincha time. What's the latest time? So, there are different levels. It's brought mitzvah min ha-mufchar, lashon shulchan aruch, sivdal, mitzvah min ha-mufchar, you should do it before you eat on Shabbos. Which the Mefarshim say that means before the Seuda, not before necessarily, before you make Kiddush and have Achilas Arai, but before the Seuda Shabbos. Because once you get into the Seuda Shabbos and everything, we're afraid that if you haven't finished, you haven't done it by then, you may get involved in the Suda, and the day may slip away from you, and you may not get it done. So mitzvah min hamufchar is to do it. This is Rebbe used to encourage his, the Gemara says, encourage his children, make sure to finish before the Suda.
Is that the Suda by day or the Suda by night?
By day. The Suda by day. However, al pi din, you have until Zman Mincha. Now, what's called Zman Mincha? So it's a big shayla. It doesn't say exactly. Some learn it means Mincha Gedola, across the board. Not to, it doesn't make it when you daven Mincha. Mincha Gedola. What does Mincha Gedola mean? 6.5 hours in the day. We know this Mincha is 6.5 hours a day, as opposed to Mincha Ketana, which is 9.5 hours. Basically, 6.5 hours a day means a half hour after Chatzos. A half hour, halachic hour, after Chatzos. So some say it means till there. A number of poskim say that. And others say it means until you daven. Until you daven Mincha. It's brought in Halicha Shlomo that you have until you daven Mincha. So if you daven Mincha later, it's okay. You could still finish the parsha, the previous week's parsha, until then.
Why is it totally in the field? I don't understand. The Gemara says it's a bunch of people going to go Yachim and it's totally in the Tzibur, no?
Not necessarily, because when you go to when you're at Mincha, you hear the next leaning. So then that it's not completely telling you. If you don't go to shul in the afternoon, you miss Mincha. You don't have, you know, doesn't mean you can't start until whenever, right? But when you're already present, that the next leaning, that already according to some, that's something. It's not mufarish. Now it's not mufarish. No, it's in the Mishnah Berurah Lechara. It's mashma that it's not telling Mincha Gedola, and I think the Sefer Birur Halacha from Michal of Rav Zilber brings this raya. Because the Mishnah Berurah says that even though it says you should do it preferably before you eat, but he says, but don't miss chatzos. Don't miss eating by chatzos. You're supposed to eat the Suda, or supposed to at least something by chatzos. Don't miss chatzos, even if you haven't done it. Well, if you haven't done it yet, and you're going to, at chatzos, you're going to sit down and eat and not do it, you're probably not going to make it by Mincha Gedola, because you only have a half hour then to do it, and you're probably not finishing your meal and the parsha within a half hour. So that's mash restrictive from the Mishnah Berurah, is not telling Mincha Gedola. But whatever it is, machlok is poskim for me to Mincha Gedola, or it means when you daven. But if you didn't do it then, a number of poskim say it's still kedai to do it in the rest of the day, still try to get it done on Shabbos. It's before Sunday starts, which is really definitely the next parsha already. If you haven't done it by then, you have until the end of Tuesday. Why Tuesday? Because we know the first 3 days in the week, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, are misyaches, they're connected to the previous Shabbos. So you still b'di'evin. It's a b'di'evin. But if you haven't done it by Mincha or by the end of Shabbos, you have until Tuesday. If you haven't done it by then, so then the last stage b'di'evin is by Simchas Torah. At least by the following Simchas Torah, it'd be mashed them all the parsha. If you didn't do it then you really missed it. But you should not rely, it's not like, okay, no. You know, it's if I get to Simchas Torah, it's really not clear at all that's okay. And that's if you haven't done it by Shlishi B'Shabbos, you should do it there. But again, the best thing is to do it by Mincha. And if not, then at least or the rest of the day. If not, at least by Shlishi B'Shabbos, as we say. Okay. Now, on a what happens on a Shabbos when? Oh, so I want to mention the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish, although he broke it up during the week, but it says that he would dafka leave a portion to do after laning, specifically after laning, because he held, so it says, wrote down that im hatzibur, to be mamish im hatzibur, it means not to be finished before the tzibur lanes. That's how he understood. Im hatzibur means when the tzibur is laned already. So he would leave a section at the end to do it afterwards. That's what the Chazon Ish, it's brought down. Now, what about when there's no parsha on that Shabbos? What do we mean, no parsha? It's Yontif or Chalamai, and they're not laning regular parsha. Now, we don't do the parshas of Yontif and Chalamai separately. We'll do them when we get up to Emor. We do Emor. We get up to whatever it is. Bo, this week, parsha's Bo, right? We're going to lane it again, Be'ez Shem on Pesach. But we do it now, parsha's Bo. We don't do it on Pesach again. So what happens, though, a week? Now, let's say it's the Shabbos before Pesach, and they started probably Shmini, right? The Mincha is usually Shmini, depending on the Ibriya, not Ibriya, but let's say Shmini, they lane the morning, they lane Sav, and in the afternoon, and Mincha and Shmini. But next Shabbos is not Lani Shmini. Next Shabbos is going to be Yontif or Chol Hamoed. So could you say, okay, but they started Lani Shmini. So no, many poskim say, no, you cannot start. You can't do it that week. That week is vacation week. From Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. Got plenty else to do for Pesach and Sukkot or whatever. But from Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, it's vacation. Because there is no parasha that week. You have to wait until after, at least until Mincha, Zman Mincha, of the following Shabbos, the Shabbos which precedes a Shabbos and when they're really going to lay the parsha. That's what many say. I did see brought down in the name of the Shevet Halevi and the Chutzshani that they say differently, that you could stop before. But I saw from many Gedolim, not like that, from Rabbi Yashiv. I'll say something in his name in another minute. I heard over that, I'll say it in B'Shem Omer, I didn't confirm it now, but Rabbi Saul Langer told me B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel first. Shlita there, Moshe Zatzal held that way, that you shouldn't do it the week before. That's what I have at least written down in my notes. And the Rabbi Yashiv, if you look in the Sefer Ha'aris, it's in a couple of places, but if you look at Sefer Ha'aris and Maseches Brachos and Daf Ches, Rabbi Yashiv says there, the way I understand what it says there is you should not do it the week before. And even if you did it, and it as long as it's still before Shabbos Shmini, right? And you have 2 weeks until Shmini, right? Today is Parshas Tzav, and it's another 2 weeks until Shmini, because in 1 week will be Pesach, and the next week will be Shmini. So if you did it any time in that first week, do it over again in the next week. If you've already passed Shmini, then you don't have to do it over. Even though it's past Shmini, you can still theoretically do it. But it's still not Tuesday. It's you chopped on Sunday that you did it too early, but you don't have to do it. Once it's past Shabbos Shmini, you have to do it again. But if it's still within the week of Shmini, you should actually do it again. So it's not probably now. I just remember Yishtikal Raya. It always seemed to me Yishtikal Raya to that Mahalach, which, as I said, most of the postkam I saw say this way, that you should not do it the week before. A Yishtikal Raya from the Mishnah Berurah, who doesn't talk about this directly, as far as I can tell, but as he talks about when should you lay in Vizos HaBracha, Shnei Mikavecha Targum. When should you lay in Vizos HaBracha? You don't lay in on Shabbos altogether. You lay in on Simchas Torah, which is never Shabbos, unless you're fortunate to live in Eretz Yisrael, where Shmini Atzeres could be Shabbos, and it's also Simchas Torah. But here, it's Simchas Torah, it's never on a Shabbos. So when do you lay in Vizos HaBracha? So the Mishnah Berurah says, one place he says Hoshana Rabbah, one place he says Shmini Atzeres. But that's it. Not earlier. What do you mean? When they've been laying Vizosa, but sometimes they have Zosa Bracha many, many times, right? From the end of from the last Shabbos Hazinu until you get to Simchas Torah, it could be quite a while. I mean, it could be quite a few leanings. And but no, it's apparently you can't do Vizosa Bracha just because they start in Shul. You can't do it. You have to wait for Shana Rabbah, Simchas Torah. So it's mashba that you have to wait. So there, maybe you can't even do it the Shabbos before because it's not a Shabbos to get in. It's not laying on Shabbos. It's Tali and Yontif. So you have to wait till Simchas Torah, Shana Rabbah. But here, okay, you could start within that week. Once you're within the week of Shmini, you could do it, but not the week before. Okay. Moving on. Another question of timing. What about at night? Could you do Shnai Mikra Vechatagim at night? So you say, well, why not? Well, there's an inyan brought down of not learning Mikra, not learning Torah Shebiksav at night. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was taught Torah Shebiksav during the day and Torah Shebaal Peh at night during the 40 days in Har Sinai. So the Shari Tshuva in over here brings down from the Machas Bracha, that's the Chidah, that he says you shouldn't do it at night. He says you shouldn't do it Ba'ashmores Yom Shishi, because Kasu Gure Ha'ari She'en Likers Targum Balayim. He says She'en Likers Targum Balayim. That's what he says. Mishmur does not bring that down, but in Simon Reish Lamed Ches in Hilchos Ma'ariv, the Shari Tzion brings from the Berheitev not to learn Mikra at night, and then he brings the Prima Godes Mashva that it is okay. So the Shari Tzion says that Nira that Afla Hamachmirim Ein Baze Isura. It's not Osir to learn Mikra at night. El Lechatchila Yoser Tov Lumo Mikra Biyom. It's preferable to do Mikra during the day, and that's the way we basically name on that. It's preferable to do Mikra during the day. If you can, try to arrange your schedule that way. Learn Torah Shabbat Peh at night and Torah Shabbat Ksav, including Shnei Mikra Targum during the day, with the exception of Friday night. Friday night it's fine, and some say even Thursday night. That's already okay. The Ben Ish Chai in the Shana Aleph Parshat Kudei Oz Zayin says that Leil Shabbos and Yontif it's okay, and then he writes also Thursday night you could read Chav Vav Psukim. Not sure what that means. Yes, the people know what those things mean, but in any case. So as they say, it's a preference to do it during the day. That's how we name on like the Shari Tzion. It's a preference to do it during the day, but not an isser to do it at night. Okay. Now, how do you fulfill a mitzvah? How do you fulfill a mitzvah? Shnei Mikra Vechatagim. Okay. Now, for sure, you can't do the targum first. The mikra has to come before the targum. According to the Mishnah Berurah, that means both mikras. Twice mikra, then once targum. B'di'eved, Mishnah Berurah brings the levush. The levush says you could do targum in between, mikra targum mikra, but the Mishnah Berurah says from the Madana Yantif that he, even the lefush only means it's bidiyevit, not lechatchila. Lechatchila should be mikra, mikra targum. So let me, in order not to be confusing, discuss this point. There are two styles how to do it. Some will do every pasuk, shnayim mikra vechatargum, pasuk by pasuk, shnayim mikra vechatargum, pasuk aleph, pasuk bay, shnayim mikra vechatargum, pasuk gimel. So that would be lechatchila, according to the Mishnah Berurah, twice the mikra, you know, vayomer shel Moshe bo al paro, vayomer shel Moshe bo al paro, and then the targum. And pasuk beis, mikra targum, pasuk gimel. The other way of doing it is to take like a parsha at a time, meaning like a section, tilapay or a samach, or if you're breaking it up by the aliyahs, like we mentioned before, many say is okay, so do the aliyah mikra, do it again mikra, and then do a targum. Some even do the entire parsha. If they sit down and do the entire parsha in one sitting, they'll do the entire parsha. So you could do it either way, as I said, either pasuk by pasuk or section by section, mikra targum. Okay, but within that, the mikra has to precede the targum. According to the Mishnah Berurah, the chatchila, both times mikra precede the targum. Now others disagree with the Madana Yantif. The Aruch HaShulchan mentions, and also was besides the Aruch HaShulchan, let me just look, I know it was one of the other Achronim. Oh, the Mekor Chaim from the Chavos Yar. Both understand the Levush as meaning that lechatchila you could do it that way. Mikra targa mikra. Mikra targa mikra. And in fact, it's brought that the Chazon Ish did it. The Chazon Ish did the targum in between the two mikras. Mikra targum mikra, mikra targum mikra. Why? Because he said the idea of the targum is so that you should know what you're learning. So it would make sense. So say it once, then translate it, get the interpretation. Now that you've got the translation, now go back and do it again the second time. Chazon Ish held that that's the, apparently that's the preferred way of doing it. In any case, I just want to point out, if you go with the Mishnah Berurah, it indicates no, it's definitely not the preferred way. It's Yotzi B'di'evit, but the preferred way is Mikra Targum. So lefi that, you know, some people like to be Yotzi one-time Mikra during Kriya Satara, meaning not just by listening, but by laying along with the Balkari, and that'll be one-time Mikra. But if you're going to follow the Mishnah Berurah, that you're going to do Mikra Targum, so you're going to have to wait there with the Targum. If you're first going to be Yotzi your second Mikra Shabbos morning during laning, so now you're a little bit behind the game. You're going to have to make sure to do the entire Targum before Zman, preferably before the Suda, and or at least before Zman Mincha. So just, you know, something to bear in mind. If you can follow the Mishnah Berurah and you want it, and you want to be Yotzei the Mikra with the Baal Kari, then you don't, you know, you have to make sure you can have time for Targum.
But if you want to be Yotzei, this is, you're saying it aloud, or you're saying,
well, you're articulating it, not loud enough to disturb the guy next to you, but the way, like when you daven. Like when you daven loud enough to hear yourself, but hopefully nobody else is disturbed. So that, you know, that type of level. Yes?
I understand that in the early days in Bogle, the language of Bogle was Aramis. So therefore, that's why they, after saying the mikra twice, they were translated into Aramis. However, the majority of the Jewish population no longer lived in a Aramis bubble.
Right.
They live in places like America, Eretz Yisrael. Well, Eretz Yisrael, not Shiloh, but Brooklyn, Lakewood, Muncie, all these places. So, can it be substituted to say a mikra and a translation, the targum, I think, means a translation. Can you say the targum in English?
Okay, best time I'm going to address that. Okay, I think I'll make it tonight. We have time to address that. I'll address that shortly. Okay, I just want to try to go a little bit in order of what I have, and then I'll address that.
Is there a specific reason why it would have to be in that order? I didn't catch that.
Is there a specific reason? Because mikra comes before, the mikra is more ikra than the targum. The mikra is that's the mamash, the Dvar Hashem, the way he said it directly. And then
the person who laying, then the person targum. So who said
well?
Yeah,
well, they only laying one time. Well, they only did it once. The mikra once when they.
There's mikra and the targum. So you see, it's not it was an activity done with the in the sibber. If you're assuming the way Mishnah Berurah is saying it, that it didn't work, it had nothing to do with the way it was linked in Shul. It was just Shnai Mikra and Echad Targum. That's what they did. Right?
Okay, they did the Mikra once, right? When they laid in Shul.
Right, I'm saying that you see that it would.
Right. Okay, so I think the idea is with the reason why we do two Mikra, one, if it's connected to two people, or it's connected, you know, with the Rosh Hashanah said, the Arvus Moav and the Sinai Omor Arvus Moav, that's how they got to three. But I think the idea is very pasha that if you don't go with the Chazon Ish's approach that the Targum should be in the middle so that you know so that you got it straight, now say it over again. If you don't go with that, then the idea is Mikra simply comes before. It's I think it's a mistake that it should be that way. Okay, so now but it's just saying that in terms of being Yosef Malkar, you have to keep that in mind. In any case, for sure you should not do Targum before any Mikra. And if you do it that way, they bring from Chaim Kanievsky that, they're in the Kesef Shulchan is Mesupik if you Yotzi B'Nieven even, and they bring, and the Dirsha Mishavur comes from Chaim Kanievsky, it says it's Kedai to do it over again, if you did that, it's Kedai to do over again the Targum after you do the Mikra. Okay, now, before I address what was just brought up, in terms of the, what constitutes Targum, just one more point before that, is that what happens if you miss the parsha? For one reason, you weren't able to do it, and you missed the parsha or part of the parsha. So there are tshuvas that discuss this, the tshuvas marsham, and others discuss it. But I think what's pashut is you definitely shouldn't fall behind further. Meaning, in other words, I had this experience myself many, many years ago. I say it was close to 30 years ago, shortly after I moved to Chicago. And again, I'll give credit is due. I was sitting in the base medrash in the Lakewood Kollel there, and it was either Lech Lecha or Vayera. Whatever it was, I was doing the parsha before. Shabbos, I had missed the parsha before, and it was Shabbos morning, and I was doing, let's say it was Lech, I was doing Noach, or maybe it was Vayera, I was doing Lech Lecha. Because I thought, it's better to do it in order, based on the sources that discussed it better to do it in order. So someone came in, his name is Rav Hillel Zaks, not Chavetz Chaim's grandson, but Chavetz Chaim's grandson's grandson. Great-great-grandson of Chavetz Chaim. His name is, I think it was Rish Kol, Eretz Yisrael, and he was in Chicago at the time, and he saw me doing the previous week's parasha, and he said to him, like, did you finish this week's parasha already? And I said, no, I didn't do it yet. I'm making them last week. So he basically told me that doesn't make any sense. So now you can do last week's parsha and not get to this week's parsha, and then you'll be ahead, then you'll be behind next week. You'll just constantly be behind. Then you'll never do it in Matzibur. Every week you're doing the previous week's parsha. Then you're never fulfilling the mitzvah. And I believe that is correct. That if you're not going to catch up now, if you can do two parashios now or within this week, then of course you should. And then there's an inyan perhaps to do. It's brought an inyan to do it in order. Better do it in order if you're going to catch up. But if you're not going to catch up, if it's like I was doing, I was sitting Shabbos morning, wasn't that long before davening, still doing the previous week's parsha. I even started that week's parsha. When in the world was I going to get that week's parsha done? Probably not in time at all. He was right. So I think that's the thing. So then, for sure, if you missed the parsha, and don't let that throw you off for the next, you know, the next 6 months until Simchas Torah or whatever it is. But rather, do already this week's parsha and then try to make up the previous one. If it's past Wednesday, it's past Tuesday, you anyway, there's not so much of an advantage making up by Simchas Torah, other than you want to make sure it happens. But if you can make up both, like you said, if you can make up both, if you just, you know, you didn't get through that week, but it's unusual, you usually do it, and you're going to sit down Sunday afternoon, you're going to sit down with a chumash, and you're going to do last week's parsha, then fine, do last week's parsha. Before you do this week's parsha, that would be the right thing to do. Okay. Targum. Okay, what's Targum? So I just want to say that Targum is not only because they lived in Babel. That might be part of it. But it's like I mentioned at the beginning, the Targum was given in Har Sinai, even before they got the Babel. Right? The Targum was given in Har Sinai. And it's from the Baruch Shalom. And it's like you said, it's carved the Lashon HaKodesh. It has many things in there which explain Pesukim, other than just translate the Pesukim. So it's very chashuv and very important, very critical to very beneficial to do specifically the Targum. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Reish Pei Hei, Seif, base. Im lamed parsha v'perish Rashi, if you learn with Rashi, chashiv kamo targum. That considered like targum. Says the Mishnah Berurah, then you'd be yotzi with that. Oh, what about psukim that don't have Rashi on it? Yikra osin shalosh pa'amim. Continues the Mechaber, v'yirei shamayim yikra targum v'gam perish Rashi. Best thing is do both. Do targum and Rashi. Now, says the Mishnah Berurah, because the targum has the maila that was given to Sinai, and it explains every word, and Rashi has the maila that explains the inyan more thoroughly in Alpi Midrashi Chazal, Yosem Eya Targum. Okay, now, so that would be the best thing to do. Now, what happens, so let's address, what happens if a person does not understand the targum? Right? Let's say you read the, you don't know what the words mean, unfortunately, you don't know what the words mean, or you don't know what a lot of the words mean. So are you Yosei? Is there a Shaila, if maybe you're not even Yosei, if you don't understand the targum? Is there such a Shaila? Well, there is such a Shaila. How do we know there's such a Shaila? Because it says in some Makaros that that you're not. Let's see, where is the one second here, please. There's a letter from the Chavetz Chaim. It's brought in the Sefer Birur Halacha, Madura Kama, Amud Nun Ches, brings a letter from the Chavetz Chaim that it says, Ein anu yotzi midecho v'aseinu b'targum. We are not yotzi with unkelus b'targum. L'fi she'ein hamoni acheinu b'nei so mivinu osam. U'perish Rashi hu et slainu midina b'mokam b'targum shim alifnim. The Chavetz Chaim in a brief, in a letter, the Chavetz Chaim says that perish Rashi is instead of a targum was. And I heard also, I have written down in my notes, that from the Shkol in Chicago, of the Zucker Shlik, the B'shem, his Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, that one who does not understand the Targum is not Yotzei with Targum. On the other hand, in Halicha Shlomo, in the first Chelek on Tfila, Perek Yedbeis, Tvar Halach Mem Ches, says one is Yotzei Targum, even if that's the Ikra Takana, and you're Yotzei even if you don't understand it so thoroughly. Or in a Mavino Alburio, in a Mavino Kalkach, in a Mavino Lashon Yofe, even if you don't understand it so well. Rishon Zalman is quoted saying that you are Yotzei, that with Ikka Takana was still Targum. Lamaisa, I personally think, is very beneficial to do Targum. And if you don't really understand it, first of all, most of us do understand a good deal of it because, Baruch Hashem, we learn Gemara and we have exposure to Gemara and a lot of the words of the Aaron. Sure, there are things we don't understand, but there's a good deal we do. And by doing it more, we can understand more. Now there are even Svarim on Targum, besides Svarim and Lashon HaKodesh that explain the depth of Targum, they are Svarim that translate the Targum. Into English, you could get a safe Unkelus translated so that you can pick up the meanings and the subtleties and the Perushim that Unkelus is saying. So that would be great. If you don't know Targum, get a Targum on the Targum. And this way you could be Yotzei that. Now, I would also venture to say, in discussion that I had with those years ago, he agreed with this many years ago, that if a person doesn't really understand Rashi, or he has difficulty with Lashon HaKodesh, so if he does Rashi in an English, in a good translation of Rashi, and there are a number of those out there now, good translations of Rashi, so then that would be fine, because by Unkelus, it's the words, we're given in Sinai, but Rashi Avada, the words of Rashi are... Zaire Halig, very, very Kaddish, and I don't mean to indicate otherwise, but I think the main point of Rashi is getting what he says rather than how he says it. If you have to pick one or the other, it's more getting the idea, what is Rashi saying? And so if you do a parish on Rashi, or do a translation of Rashi, then that would be very worthwhile. Now, okay, so the best thing would be to do Unkelus, and do Unkelus with the translation if you need to. And if you can, Yirei Shamayim, about to do Rashi as well. And do Rashi as best you understand it. What about something entirely different? Could you take an English translation, right? An English translation, contemporary or not so contemporary, maybe one that was written maybe perhaps by one of the Chachamim of one of the previous recent Doros who translated, whether it's into English or whether it's into another foreign language, which you may understand or maybe translated now into English. So it's brought that if there's a parish which is Alpi Chazal and incorporates the words of Chazal, the resolution, it incorporates how Chazal explained the psukim, then you could be Yotzei. You could be Yotze even without Uklus or Rashi if you take a translation which translates it properly al pi Chazal. And there are a number of them. I don't want to give specifics now, but there are a number of them out there that in English, and I would imagine other languages as well, which translate the psukim properly al pi Chazal. And if you need to, you could be Yotze with that. So again, doing Uklus has a mila which you can't replace with anything else. Doing Rashi is phenomenal if you can, but there is the idea of being Yotze with other translations if necessary. I believe that's the bulk of what I wanted to say. I'll mention one more thing, and if someone has any questions, one more halacha, nobody should have to know from it, but it is brought that, let's say, if a person is sitting Shiva, we know that during Shiva, one of the Yisurim of Shiva is Talmud Torah. A person is not allowed to learn during Shiva other than Hilchas Avelus, halachas and similar things that... Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, he's allowed to do on Shabbos, at least, and I see some bring down, even if he normally does, breaks it up, he can do it, he can break it up, I retract that, I did not say what I saw, it was a Shiloh, whether if he normally does Rashi, he could even do Rashi, but on Shabbos during Shiva, he could do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, on the Shabbos during Shiva, but it's brought from the number of Achronim, from B'Kivager, that, let's say the Shiva ends on Shabbos, if the Shiva began on a Sunday, so that the last day is Shabbos and he gets up for Shabbos. So then he shouldn't do it Friday night while he's still in Dinin Shiva. He should wait Davka to the morning after Shacharis when he gets up from Shiva, and then he no longer has the restrictions of Shiva. Then he can learn anything and he wait to do it then. But if the Shiva is not ending on Shabbos, if the Shiva is going beyond, then he could do it afterwards. Which just reminds me, I always had a Shiloh, which I don't think I ever asked anyone, on Tisha B'Av. There's a discussion whether you could do it on Tisha B'Av. Whether you can be chos of the parsha on Tisha B'Av, it's not so pasha that you can. But let's say Tisha B'Av is a Sunday, or better yet, let's say Tisha B'Av is a Tuesday, and you're behind last week's parsha. Tisha B'Av is sometimes Tuesday, right? Or in the days when we used to have Tisha B'Av, Amalu was on a Tuesday. So let's say a person didn't finish last week's parsha, and now it's Tuesday. If he doesn't do it, that's it. He's not Yotzi. It's Simchas Torah, but that's really the difference. I always wondered if he could do it just like the Aval, the Sing Shiva, could do it on Shabbos because he the mitzvah is to do it then. So I wonder if the person on Tisha B'Av, they make it up, could he make it up on Tuesday? So we'll leave you with that, Shai. Okay. Thank you all for coming.
What did everyone want to say? Which English
That was a question I was going to ask. What's the goal of the target? Are you trying to have this more to implement the words? The Sun Commission is frankly not very good at the words because they say Rashi basically, which is cheating. Forgive me for saying it though. But it's not really Peich a lot of times. What's the goal of the Targums?
That's okay. Rashi also from translating the words.
No, but he's being. But he's not coming to it. He's going to be the master of the word. I'm saying he's not going to translate.
Translation, which is the case, you know, pretty much, you know, for the most part, translating the words, but he has to have
to decide it. I don't know. It's a different question. What's the Gemara that he wants to finish before he goes to the word? I just don't understand that.